If you got your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Daniel, chapter 1. The book of Daniel, chapter 1. I want to start reading with verse 1. As you're turning to Daniel, chapter 1, I'm going to be a little pastoral this morning. I'm going to answer a question that a lot of people ask me all the time, ministers especially, and a lot of other people. Brother Jesse, what are you seeing out there? What is happening around, because you travel so much. There's so many wonderful things happening in the body of Christ, even as I speak. But there are also some things that are slipping into the body of Christ that are not very good. They look good. They attract people. But it doesn't bring people to the level of holiness that God wants them to be. But they look good. And God knows without a shadow of a doubt that any piece or any corruption of any kind of sin, he calls it a little leaven, leaven the whole lump. It doesn't take much to destroy something. One bad apple in a bunch, it don't take long before it infects everything. Am I correct? That's why you got to get that thing out of there. Because mold, I noticed something about Hurricane Katrina. If everybody could have been able to get back in within, let's say Katrina hit on, I believe she hit on a Monday, I think it was. I think it was either Monday or Sunday. I can't remember now exactly what it was. Make a long story short, if everybody could have been back, maybe we'd have had to wade through water or something. I don't know. If everybody could have been back, we'd have shut down probably a lot of the destruction of Katrina simply by stopping the mold. But, you know, with water in a house and things of that nature and 97 degrees and 100% humidity, it's just cooking. See, and some people, you know, the flood went out of their home, but yet the mold began to go up the walls. If we could have just got in there pretty quick, we might have stopped a lot of what I call drywall. We could have cut out the stuff that was bad, and immediately, if they'd have let us do that, maybe houses wouldn't have been as damaged as much. Because I heard people told me that on the second floor of their home, which no water touched, there was mold growing because they didn't let nobody back for a week, 2 weeks, sometimes 3 weeks, things of that nature. And I find sometimes that some of this mold did some of the worst damage, you know, in things that were not damaged by wind or water, but there's just the mold growing. Daniel chapter 1, I want to start reading with verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, unto his hand, with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. Then the king instructed Aspenaz, the master of the eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel, and some of the king's descendants, and some of the nobles. Young men in whom there was no blemish, but good looking. See, the Lord likes good looking people. Gifted in all wisdom. God likes smart people. Possessing knowledge. Wisdom is the ability to use knowledge. And quick understanding. So you don't have to tell them 15,000 times to do something. They get it quick. Who had ability to serve in the king's palace. Notice where God wants to put them. And whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. Notice this, the king wants to, move what he says is right. Verse 5. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank and 3 years of training for them. So that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. Now, from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. To them, the chief of the eunuchs gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar, to Hanani, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. Now, verse 8 is where I want to get to. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat or the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Notice this, all the wealth and splendor of the hanging gardens of Babylon, because that was the thing of that day, did not impress Daniel whatsoever at all concerning what the world had. And everybody trying to get to the king's table. Everybody wants to eat the king's meat. Everybody wants to drink the king's wine. Everybody wants to be blessed. Don't misunderstand me. But where did that blessing come from and what curse was put on it before you decided to take it? It may look good. It may smell good, but it is a defilement of what we believe according to scripture. So people ask me all the time, what are you seeing? I'm seeing great growth in the church, but also great world coming into the church. That it's very hard sometimes to tell the difference between the church and a nightclub. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Now, if anybody believes in good music, I do. If anybody believes in moving, I do. Bless God. I'm into that. Don't misunderstand me. But when it begins to switch over from a praise, which is congregational, a worship, which is singular, to, and nothing wrong with entertainment because I love being entertained. But when it no longer magnifies God, just magnifies talent, something's not right. Something is beginning to twist. Title of this message this morning is The King's Meat. Everybody want a piece of the King's meat. Everybody wants a cup of the wine at the king. Everybody wants to sit at that table because it's rich. And there's nothing wrong with riches, ladies and gentlemen, because I believe in that myself. But I will not defile myself with the riches of the world. What I mean by the riches of the world. In other words, I will not be infected by what the world says. I'm not trying to open this church or open my ministry and do things to get people attention so they can come to the church. I would rather touch their heart. If I can touch their heart, they'll come to this church. Or they'll come to the God Almighty. Notice Daniel said, I will not defile myself with the king's meat. Now to everyone else, it was as high as you can get if you can sit down and sit at the king's table. But you got to realize, what does this king do? You know, there's a scripture in Psalms 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. A lot of people say, why are you so much against borrowing money? I'm not against borrowing money. But because God made Abraham a lender, so borrowing is not a sin. Don't misunderstand, because if borrowing was a sin, God would have never made Abraham a lender. But what I'm concerned about is when I covenant with somebody, I don't know how they live it. I don't know what they're doing behind closed door. Character is what you do when no one's around instead of when someone's in front of you. I want to find out what he's going to do. If I'm going to hook up and do some business with somebody, I want to know how they live it. I want to know what they're doing when they're not in church. So why? So that I don't have a curse or a defilement of any kind, even though it might be a wonderful blessing to me. Because I find I've had a lot of people say, oh, Brother Jesse, you ought to do this, you ought to do this, you ought to do this. You've heard it before. You've heard that a lot of ministries and people have lost money because they invested in things that were scams. Why? Because it was a piece of the king's meat. It looked good. It smelled good. It may have tasted good, but it was defilement. You see what I'm saying? So I'm very careful who I associate with in spiritually, physically, and financially concerning covenant with people. Now, that doesn't mean I don't have sinner friends, because I believe you should have sinner friends. Jesus was a friend of sinners, but you should be stronger than the sin they're sinning. In other words, your influence on them ought to change them to think different, right? So I'm dealing with, and I see a lot of this in these last days. I see a lot of wealth and riches, and I believe in that. But I see a lot of lukewarmness. I'm not just trying to fill this church up with people, what we call seeker friendly. Just make it so friendly. I want things coming across this pulpit that will convict you, not condemn you. I don't believe in condemnation. The Bible said there's therefore now no condemnation. There will never be condemnation preached by my mouth. But there will be conviction that will be preached by my mouth. Because we're living in a very sinful world that looks very good. We're now looking at porn queens as stars. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. We're at the point that we got girls so tight in clothes and boys so loose in clothes. One's falling off and the other one is going inside the body. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. I know what it is to be young. I've been young. You understand? You understand? I don't mind being fashionable. That's not the issue. But it's amazing to me. If you got to show me your butt to look at you, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Because you more than two cheeks. You understand? Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. That's what I'm saying. You understand what I'm saying? Boys, and the only reason they wear boxers is because they can put their pants down to here and got a belt. Is that, are you against? No, I'm not against it. What I'm saying is, and what is the reason for it? My God, if they had a fire, you couldn't run. You'd lose. You'd be running out of here in your drawers. I'm not knocking it. What I'm saying is, are you trying to look like the world? Are you trying to sit down at the king's table and eat a piece of the king's meat? Now, I'm not talking about dressed like a white-headed man like me. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about that you got some talent. What about, why don't you start a fashion instead of listening to them fools starting a fashion? They got girls so skinny that they got anorexia. Now they finally get, the elevator finally hit the top that these models are dying, starving and dying. That they said, let's get some girls with some meat on them a little bit. Common sense, isn't it? Write this down. Self-restraint is the surest path to spiritual health. Self-restraint is the surest path to spiritual health, spiritual usefulness, and spiritual joy. One part of our nature is to be cultivated. The other is to be crucified. Let me say it again. Self-restraint is the surest path to spiritual health, spiritual usefulness, and spiritual joy. Three things. I could preach 3 hours right there. Spiritual health, spiritual usefulness, spiritual joy. Now, one part of our nature is to be cultivated. The other is to be crucified. I'm not saying, young people, that you got to look like a monk. I ain't talking about that kind of stuff. I like the way you look. Don't misunderstand. I'm not being critical. What I'm saying is are you looking like someone that's of the devil, or why don't you look like someone that's of the Lord? I promise you, you put the devil on the side of an angel, the angel going to win. The angel going to look better. You see what I'm saying? But we wait for the world to give us our fashion. We wait for the world who don't live for God, spitting on Jesus, doing every diabolical thing they can think of, call God and use Jesus, just abuse his name. And because Christians are not crazy enough to go blow up something, they keep doing it. And people say, why don't Christians do that? Because Christians don't use fear to get people to the knowledge of God. Other religions do, but Jesus doesn't do that. So let me say it again. Self-restraint is the surest path to spiritual health, spiritual usefulness, and spiritual joy. One part of our nature is to be cultivated. The other is to be crucified, which means this. I want people, instead of me trying to look like you, I'm not trying to get you to look like me, but I am going to raise a standard. I'm tired of the world setting a standard. I'm tired of Hollywood setting a standard for our children today. Now, are you against Hollywood? No, I ain't against Hollywood. I'm not against anybody. I'm against the devil. Do you see what I'm saying? So there's a time we have to restrain ourselves. And it's not only that matter. We have to restrain ourselves in our bodies. We have to restrain ourselves in everything that we do. Because, see, we're getting so infected that we don't know what's wrong no more. And I'm not preaching a religion of rights and wrong. What I'm preaching is not a religion at all. I'm preaching a holiness, a gospel. Now, I'm not talking about looking so bad, you ain't got no makeup on, so scared, bless God, that you know, Lord, you look like some dog walking around. No, I ain't talking about that. Ain't nothing wrong with makeup. That's why God made it. Make it up. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I don't have a problem with that. But I'm getting to a point, Lord Jesus, but it's ridiculous. A woman, see, because the pendulum never stays in the middle. It always swings too far to the right. We got too many conservative right. We got too many liberal left. You understand what I'm saying? We get to a point now, if you don't believe what I believe, you're going to hell. And if you don't do this, then you're condemning me. No, I'm not doing that. What I'm saying is there's a thing called right. It's pretty easy to see. You see what I'm saying? It's pretty simple to see. So self-restraint, that's the surest path. Now, there's a verse of scripture that tells you this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. It says, all things are lawful unto me. I love that. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. You know how many Christians trying to find scripture so they can drink? And proud to say, we drink wine. Just looking for a scripture somewhere where they can slide into the world a little bit. Now, you know, then you got the other side. My Lord, if you look at wine, you're going to hell. No, you're not. That's not the issue. My point is saying all things are lawful to unto me. Yeah, they all. God says, why? Because you are the, well, you're the owner of this planet. So you determine what's right and what's wrong in terms of how you live your life through the morality of God's law. But not all things are expedient. Which means even though you got the ability to do something, you may not want to because you may not be able to handle it. Paul says it again, all things are lawful to me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. In other words, if something is controlling you other than the Lord Jesus Christ, then that's a wrong thing. I'll give you a prime example. I went nuts years ago on cowboy boots. I like cowboy boots. I don't know why I like them. I always wanted a horse and cows and you know, and a saddle and roll them.
Keep them doggies rolling. I like all that stuff.
I must have had 14 or 15 pairs of boots. Alligator, eel, you know, I mean some very expensive boots. And one day I looked up like that and I looked up there and the Lord didn't tell me to get rid of it. I realized that I was brought under subjection to those things. Was it wrong? No. Lord, God ain't against cowboy boots. A cow might be against cowboy boots, but God's not against it. I said, Lord, forgive me. I am getting to a point that this is controlling me. So I gave them away. Every one of them just slapped, gave them all away. Boy, people were excited. Lord, especially in Texas. Thank you, Jesse. Was it lawful me to own them? Well, sure it was lawful me to own them. There wasn't an issue. But it wasn't expedient because, see, I let it begin to control me. Do you know I went several years without owning a pair of boots? And one day I was in Dallas, actually in Fort Worth, at one of them believers' convention, Southwest Believers' Convention, and they said, let's go down to old Fort Worth town. I went down there, you know, we just, now it's all got, it's got little shops where you buy things. And I walked by and the Lord spoke, he said, that's some pretty boots in there. I said, they sure are. He said, why don't you get those? I realized what he said. I had broke the power of that. You see, one side of your nature is to be cultivated, the other side is to be crucified. Let me say it again in that verse. All things are lawful unto me, 1 Corinthians 6:12, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful again, he says again, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Do you see that? I won't be brought under the power of any. I have some people, friends of mine, I bless God, they just can't go outside unless they're just looking like $1 million. And there's nothing wrong with looking like $1 million, because $1 million looks good. But my Lord, who are you trying to prove? What are you trying to prove to the world? Are you trying to get the attention of the world? I'm not interested in the world. I'm in the world, but I'm not of it. I will not be infected by the world system. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, write this down. First, let me say this. When Daniel said, he said, listen, you can have the meat. Listen, these people are giving you their best, so don't spit on it. I think one of the worst things Christians can do is go to a funeral of a person that's been a homosexual that died and scream at everybody that he's going to hell or she going to hell. That ain't the love of God. That's stupidity going to seed. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Now, you got people that are hurting here. So you want to hurt them some more? How you ever going to win anybody to Jesus? Telling everybody, oh, Lord, this and that. And, you know, this is, you know, is homosexuality a sin? Well, the Lord says it is. You say, I don't believe that. That still don't change it. I don't care what you believe. It still don't change God. You're going to stand before God. It's like atheists. I don't believe in God. Well, there ain't no unbelievers after death. You're going to stand before God, big boy. Whether you believe it or not, it doesn't make any difference. That's just simply the truth. But I mean, I think it's wrong sometimes. That's why people get so extreme on that. They get so hard that they make the gospel such a hard thing that nobody wants it. I've had, you know how many people have told me the reason why they didn't want to be a Christian? Because they didn't want to be poor. I said, let me help you. Neither did God. God didn't want to be poor neither. God sent his son that you could become rich. But ain't nobody want to touch that because they're scared of it. Why? Because their finance poverty is a major corporation that they like keep going. They like to keep it going. You see my point? Now watch this here. He had a choice to eat the king's meat. That was an honorable thing. The king was offering him his best. He went and talked to the chief of the eunuchs and said, if you don't mind, I'd rather just eat some cereal. You go on your release. They call it pulse in the King James. I'll eat some cereal. So what he wound up was eating low-fat vegetables, and he looked better than everybody eating meat and cholesterol. He said, if you don't mind. But he asked. He was kind. He didn't say, but he said, you know, I'm from a different type of people, and if you don't mind, I would rather, if this would be okay. That's what he was saying. Now look at this. Write this down. When the power of choice is no longer there, he didn't have a choice. He had to eat the king's meat. When the power of choice is no longer there, persuasive kindness wields a mighty scepter. You have to be persuasive in what you believe, but it must be done in kindness. Now, this is a long point, but write it down. It is a false estimate of dignity when people suppose they must be self-assertive, arrogant, and unyielding. Words once uttered are not easily recalled. Let me say it again. When the power of choice is no longer there, when you got to do this, because these people have the power over you, how do you get it to flow right? Persuasive kindness wields the mightiest scepter. Now write this down. It is a false estimate of dignity when people suppose they must be self-assertive.
Tell you one thing, you're going to do what I tell you to do. Arrogant. If you don't believe like I believe, you're going to hell. Unyielding. I don't care what you say.
You see what I'm saying? I have a lot of friends of mine that challenge things that I say, especially my center friends. But I don't beat them. I just smile. They say, well, I'll give you a prime example. Watch this. All things are lawful, not all things are expedient. Let me say it again. Let me write to some of y'all. Some of y'all, this is a long point, but you need to get it. When the power of choice is no longer there, persuasive kindness yields the mightiest scepter. It's a false estimate of dignity when people suppose they must be self-assertive or arrogant and unyielding. Words once uttered not easily recalled. Because I travel all over the world, there are some cultures different than our cultures. I've had beer put in front of me, wine, whiskey, gin, giblets, you name it, all this stuff, you know. Now, do I drink? No, I don't drink. Why don't I drink? Because I had a problem with drinking. Before I was born again, I drank a fifth of whiskey a day. I don't smoke dope. I don't care if you think God created the herb for you. You're living in a dream world here. People get under the craziest thing. The Lord created this herb for me. It's the wildest thing you ever seen in your whole life. No. They say, I've been in very nice, if you go to a very fine restaurant, there's always a wine list. You know, I mean, always. And I've had people say, oh, would you like some wine? I said, no, thank you. Oh, and I've had some, why, you don't believe in drinking? I said, no, I didn't say that. You said that. See, I don't answer that question. I said, I didn't say that. You said that. I said, I had a problem with drinking. I used to drink too much. You know what they go? Oh, we're sorry, Reverend. I still got my point over. I said, I had a problem with that. I don't touch that. They said, why you don't touch? I said, because it has power over me. I used to bring, people thought I had Kool-Aid in the thermos bottle when at school. I had slow gin in there. It looked like Kool-Aid, but I had the best taste in Kool-Aid I ever drank in my life. So come time for algebra, I could say A plus B equals C. I ain't kidding you, boy. Come algebra time, I was three sheets to the wind. I was enjoying it. I was, boy. I mean, I drank a lot. But I don't touch it. Now, do I believe the Bible? Well, they said, well, is there any other reason why you don't? I said, if you desire the office of a bishop, an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, a teacher, the executive branch of God's government. This is what God says. I don't care what anybody else says. God says you can't have any. Now, what part of that you don't understand? But I got some friends of mine. I call them friends because I ain't going to be critical of them. Lord, they're just looking for that scripture to drink some booze. They just want to drink a drink. They got to drink a drink. Let's just have a drink. Come on, let's have a drink. I have a friend of mine in New Orleans. One time a guy said, you're not ordering. He said, don't order that drink around me. He said, I'm a witness to these people. And the guy said, well, I'm going to drink anyway. He said, I'm going to knock your brains out. That would have been funny. I mean, he wouldn't have got a drink, but he went to jail for beating up a guy. You see what I'm saying? You got to be careful a little bit. It's very, very hard. And I understand the reason why. I just tell him, I said, no, I don't get around those things. I had a problem with that. And I said, the Lord set me free. And it ain't no use for me to tempt myself. Right? Now, I ain't drinking, good God, 30 years. People say, oh, yeah, but if you drank something now, it would really affect you. This body ain't saved. My body not saved. I could sit down right now, suck some scotch. Oh, Lord. Tequila with the salt around it, just lick the tongue all the way down to the glass. Eat the worm in the bottom of the bottle. Don't look at me weird. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Son, why don't you do it? Because it's crucified. And the other part is cultivated. Hallelujah. See the difference? Yes. You get that? Yes. Don't tell me I couldn't drink. Kathy said, you do, I'll kill you. I know that. I lose my life. I know I would. I mean, the devil's tried to fool me. There's been times people have given me a piece of, it's some kind of dessert with rum in it. I didn't taste the cake. Forget the cake. I went, oh, we put a little rum. One time I ate some bread pudding, and I didn't know they put whiskey sauce. I went, woo, woo. No. 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 That's the king's meat. But you know, in a lot of countries, when they offer you a glass of wine, it might cost $50 for that glass. to them, they're being nice to you. For you to say, you're going to hell. That's wrong. That's self-assertive. That's arrogant. That's unyielding. You don't want to defile yourself. Pretty simple, isn't it? You see, so I refuse to take a part of the king's meat, but I see a lot of the people in churches today can't wait to get to the king's table, trying to find some scripture when they know that that thing will destroy them. Or, well, we're going to relax our dress clothes, our dress, what do they call that thing? Yeah. Because we want everybody to look, wait, I understand. You know, that's not the issue, but you get to a point where it isn't fashionable, where it's sending a message. It's called sexual. Girls, oh yeah, you're a beautiful individual. You don't want people just to see two parts of you. Do you understand? We're so breast crazy, it's unreal. Breast nuts, man. Good Lord. I mean, women, just let's show them. Just, oh, am I shocking you? Now we laugh, but it's all in church. I prayed for people, boy. I've had, oh Lord, just so much. That was it. It wasn't elegant. The dress, you didn't even look at the dress no more. You want a funny thing? I gotta tell her. You want something funny? Children even notice that. There was this lady in a church, in a very, very big, big church in America, and she was highly endowed and sticking out. Just slammed together and pushed up. All right? Let's just be honest here. Here comes a kid. He looks at her. He 5 years old. He said, how come your butt's in the front? Am I shocking everybody? I guess we may have to edit this program. I don't know. Now the kid thinking, God. Now, there are some women very heavily endowed. That's okay. I don't care if you're heavily endowed. That is not the issue. The issue is what are you doing with that endowment? That's called a king's meat. Because when you see that, that's breast meat. I just have a piece of breast meat here. Well, man, you more than just breast. Good God, man. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Now, it may sound funny, but even the kid couldn't figure that out. Now, I didn't go up to people and say, oh, you look like a hoe. I wouldn't say that. First thing first, that's a judgment. That's wrong to do that. See? But I would say this, you got more talent than that. You're smarter than that. I've talked to prostitutes. I said, you're smarter than that. People, somebody can convince you that the only way you can make a living is selling yourself when you're brilliant. Because if you got the guts to walk a street for somebody to kid you in any given time, you're not stupid. But you see, no one ever told you you could do better. You see, they said, just join the ranks. Now listen to this. Proverbs 16:32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He that ruleth his spirit than he that taxeth a city. Now you see the reason why some people are addressing like this, they can't rule themselves. How do you expect them to rule anyone else? Now you may want to show it off. I don't know. That kind of stuff. But there's so much more to you. Let me tell you the most important ladies, the most important organ you have is your brain. Gentlemen, the most important organ you have is your brain. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's who makes you. That's what makes you. That's who you are. You see what I'm saying? That's a wonderful thing. But I find a lot of churches are breaking their system just to try to get people. Just get them in. Just get them in. Yeah, but what happened? Okay, if they get in, but what happened? When cancer comes, they die. Huh? When diabetes comes, they die. When poverty comes, they stay poor. Yeah, you got them in. Okay, you was able to count the numbers. But how did you help them? How'd you get them out of five generations of welfare? All of a sudden, now, they're still in welfare. All of a sudden, now, you teach them right, and my God, they can be a blessing to someone. You understand what I'm saying? You're more than that. You're more than what the world standard says you're. That's why Daniel said, I will not, it's called defilement. I will not defile myself. I will not do that. Write this down. Never forget that there is a better and best in life. So many people forget that. They just get into the rut of life. Never forget that there is a better and best in life. An hour of prayer is more fruitful than years of speculative reasoning. An hour of prayer is more fruitful than speculative reasoning. So many people always want to debate. Debate. Debate makes a discussion. A decision makes a choice. It's time we decide some things here. I'm not trying to be hard on nobody, because I think sometimes we've been too hard on young people. We've been so busy we hadn't been able to hear what they say. You see what I'm saying? And you got to understand something. They ain't going to wear the same thing you wore. Everything's different, fashionable. But there is a line. There is an area. There's a point where, my God, everybody already knows that you done stepped over the line. You go to some of these Oscar things, women are wearing anything they can fall out of. Why? Because they know sex sells. But they ain't going to do that when they're 50. Uh-uh. Because they're going to need some implants. You see, and I'm going to tell you something about Hollywood. They're going to forget you. But I've seen some stars that were stars to the day they died because they were elegant. They kept themselves. And they achieved more than a lot of other people achieved. Let me say it again. Never forget there is a better and a best in life. An hour of prayer is more fruitful than years of speculative reasoning. Now, I could preach for hours on all this stuff, but I'm going over this to make you understand what I'm saying here. I'd rather talk to God about it. You know, there's been some times the Lord said, Jesse, and I think what's bad with the spiritual, or what I call Pentecostal world, and I love the Pentecost because I'm a Pentecostal, is that they get into bondage. They get so hard that it pushes people away. And only a certain small amount of people are able to swallow that piece of gospel. The gospel should be easily swallowed. It's good news. But it should be to the point to where as you're eating it, it convicts you in some areas that you need to be convicted. Now, you have to understand something. You should never preach your convictions. Why? Because somebody may be able to do something you can't do. Why? Because you got a problem with that. I had a gentleman one time tell me, he said, you know, Brother Jesse, I want to tell you something. I said, what's that? He said, I notice a lot of women follow you. I said, what? He said, a lot of women, I notice they follow you a lot. I said, does that bother you? No. I said, why'd you notice it? I said, if you notice, also a lot of men bother me. Now, what do you follow me? I said, now, let me ask you a question. Why are you saying women follow me? You think that I'm trying to get close to them women, or women trying to get close to me? There's a lot of men follow me too, but I don't think any of them trying to get close to me. And if they are, they're hiding it very well. That's all I can say. I don't think so. I said, the problem is, sir, is with you. I don't have a problem with a lot of women following me. Why? Because I got a woman. I got a woman all over town. She's good to me. Yeah. I got a woman. Just thought about that for a minute, you know. Why? No. Why? Because I don't see another woman as body parts. And I don't need my ego stroked to make me think I'm a man. I know I'm a man. I'm a man, Mama. That's all I'm going to say about that. Praise God. Yeah. Jesus, get down with your bad self, Jesse. I don't have to have that. I don't need that in my life. Why? Because I'm stronger than that. You see what I'm trying? You understand what I'm saying here? But he needed that. I could see that. I said, you got a problem. Oh, no, no, I'm not. I said, yeah, you do. I said, let's be honest here. Now, you may not have done anything, but that's the seeds. Yeah. That stuff right there is the seeds for something to blow up and to destroy your life. You see what I'm saying? There's something better and something best. And he said, how did you get rid of that? Well, you're going to be a man all the days of your life if you're a man. Don't misunderstand me. That's not the issue. But you must be a man that has self-control. And you got to look at, and a minute, let me just help some of you men. If you look at this woman and all you can see is parts, man, and your hormones are kicking up, why don't you look at some other parts of the woman? You know, just look at it for a minute and think, wait a minute. She's more than just sexual. Why don't you listen to her talk for a minute? And some of you girls are saying, wait, you don't have to be so sexual. That's the only way you can get attention from somebody. There's so much to you that you have not even figured out yourself. You see what I'm saying? You know why they call psychiatrists shrinks? Why do you call them a shrink? You ever wonder about that? Because see, they actually make you look at, they shrink you. So you can really see who you are. They make you realize in certain areas that you really do, you have this power. But you may not be, you're not using it because no one ever told you that you could use it. You see? See, I'm dealing with the king's meat here. I refuse to fire myself. So when the devil tries to put an ugly thought in my mind about something, I say, excuse me, that's not my thoughts. My thoughts are lovely, just good, report, and pure. Now, I have a lot of women that work. I think I got more women that work for me than men. Am I correct in that, Kathy? When you say, Ricky, we have way more, and we got some good-looking women working for us. But you know what? They're protected at this ministry. What do you mean by protected? We will not allow sexual harassment of any kind to operate and function in this ministry. Why? Because we don't see them as sexual beings. That's not our job to see them as sexual beings. We are to see them as computer operators. Now, when they go home with their husbands and wives and all that kind of, that's their business, what they do. That ain't none of my business. We see them how we hired them. When I walk into finance and I see Jessica Sabion, that's a pretty woman. And she, her sister Tracy, her mama works for me. Just got about the whole family working for her. I don't see them as, whoo, look at these foxy mamas that are taking care of my money. I see some smart girls. We have Holly that works in our finance department. She's a beautiful girl. We don't just say, woo. Now, if they come walk, sometimes they come walking in. Boy, they put on, I say, boy, y'all look beautiful today. Well, you thought we looked like trash yesterday? No, I didn't think you looked like trash yesterday. But you know, clothes make the person. But we don't just say, ooh, we didn't hire them because they look beautiful. We hire them because of their ability to do the job. Do you see what I'm saying? To simply do the job. Got some beautiful secretaries here. I mean, a bunch of them. I talk to all of them. I see them. But we don't see them as that. We see them as this is what they can do to help this ministry. That's what we hired them for. See, we tell them you can be better and you can be best. It's just that simple. I love that. Look what it says in Proverbs 4 verse 18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The path of the just is as the shining light. In other words, if you get around me, I should be able to shine to show you where to go. All you ministers that are on staff here at Covenant Church, every time you open your mouth to speak to someone, whether it's a counseling session or a ministry behind the pulpit, whatever, you have got to shine the light on the path that people need to walk with. It is our prerogative to do so. God has called us to do those things. Nobody want to hear, I don't know. We don't know what's going to happen here. We just hang on for the rest. That's not leadership. That's not going from point A to point B. You think I'm satisfied with this crowd? No. Not because of numbers. I'm talking about because of growth. I'd rather have 50 full-grown spiritual people than I would have 5,000 babies. You get 5,000 babies, you got a lot of mess going on. Do you see what I'm saying? But I believe I can have 5,000 spirit-filled, power-packed, punching people. 10,000, 20,000. Yeah, that's not the issue. I'm not just trying to say to make this a big church. No. I'm interested in growth. That you grow to the fullness of the stature of Christ. So there is a better and there is a best. Now write this down. No department of our daily lives is beyond the reach of conscience. No department of our daily life or lives is out of the reach of conscience or beyond the reach of conscious or consciousness. Faith in God during the trial should not only be food proof, but tire proof. In other words, I'm pretty sure he looked at that food and said, that's some good food. Dan said, Lord Jesus, that's some good food. I mean, that's better than eating Cheerios. Cheerios is good for you, but after a while, Cheerios are Cheerios. See, you got to be more than food proof, but tire proof. Devout obedience will secure a blessing. He was so devout in his blessing to God that God made him prime minister of the place. His character got him to the prime minister and he was a slave. Martin Luther King did things that most black men would never ever do. Took ridicule. That was almost, how could, oh, I couldn't have done it. That man had more than me spitting at him, wanting to kill his family, kill it. I mean, I ain't saying he done everything right. I don't know any man ever done anything right. Everybody, you know, the only person ever did everything right was Jesus and they killed him. But you know what, without becoming nonviolent, with people screaming at you, can you imagine that? Putting fire hoses on you and just wanting to hurt you. And now watch it. Not only did he have to control himself, he had to control all these men around him. And houses burning up, crosses stuck in the middle of a yard, and white Christian people using the Bible to do something like that. That took some character, buddy. Say what you want. You know what I think had him? You know what I think made him what he was? I have a dream. He looked at the end instead of what was going on while we were getting to the end. He even said it, I may not get there with you. And he didn't. He shouldn't have said that. Because your words are very powerful. I wish he could have seen it. That's not the issue. But to be able to take the devastating, that's devastating, boy. I tell people all the time, I don't care wherever prejudice is, you stop it. Man, I've had people get mad at me. If I see prejudice of any kind, I don't care if I'm in a store. I don't care. I shut it down. Who? Stop. There is enough cruelty in the world. You're judging by someone by the color of their skin or their creed or their nationality. Or if you think they're dumb or smart, stop it. I don't care who they are. I mean, I've had people get mad as a hornet at me. But I will stop prejudice of any kind if I'm in front of it. I don't care where I'm at. I don't care. Why? Because the world's had enough of that junk and we don't need any more of that. It needs to be stopped. I will not allow what I call racial jokes to come to me. I will stop them. Excuse me. Are they funny? Yeah. If you're not part of it. So I will tell the black people that are watching, don't call yourself the N-word. Don't do that, because you're not that. Yeah, but it's funny. A lot of the black comedians, I don't care. It's wrong. And you white guys who think y'all so lily white, it's the same thing. Don't look at gangsters and gangster rap as something that you want to do. If they're so good, how come a lot of them are dead? You think those people care about those people? They're killing them. Don't do that. I'm getting strong this moment. I can't help it. It's the king's meat. See, that's the king's meat. People being defiled. Don't do that. Now, I know sometimes somebody make you so mad, maybe that's the only word you can think of that just fits what you feel. But that don't make it right. I don't like those things. That's wrong. It needs to be stopped. I tell you what we need, ladies and gentlemen. We need social graces. You want to teach your kids something? Teach them to be courteous. You see that little girl that's really pretty and nice? Instead of, you know, young man, you really want to impress her? Open the door for her. Open the car door for her. Open the door for her. Buy her something nice. Be a little blessing to her. Yeah. And, young girl, if you want to make that boy feel good, tell him he looks nice. You know? You look nice. You don't look nice now, but you're going to look nice. You know, girls need to help boys a lot. you got to get them moving here, glory to God. What are you saying? I'm saying no department of our daily lives is beyond the reach of conscience. Faith in God during the trial should not only be food proof, it should be tire proof. The boy never got tired. Daniel said, I'll not eat the king's meat. Devout obedience will secure a blessing. See, I don't doubt that he was tempted with the king's meat. I don't doubt that the king's meat tasted good. That's not the issue. But I don't doubt that people would say, look how great these guys are. But you see, it was a part of defilement. And I refuse to be a part of that. I will not be a part of that in my life. I've made up my mind. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, holiness is not this religious junk of condemnation. I don't agree with that whatsoever. I like our ladies here. A lot of them have pantsuits on, nice earrings, things. And people say, that's wrong. That ain't wrong. Maybe wrong for you, but it ain't wrong for them. In other words, and dressing modest doesn't mean looking like a potato sack. You understand what I'm saying? I know I'm a little flashy in some areas. My head's flashy, but that's me. I remember when Elvis Presley first came out, Lord, Mom and them thought, Lord, gee, look at this boy. He wore pink and black. Remember that? Oh, God, pink and black. Good Lord. Why would you? And if a man wore pink, sweet boy. No? That happens to be a very pretty color. It really is. I don't think pink makes the boy sweet. Huh? Now, do I believe is that an alternate lifestyle? No, I don't believe that. But that doesn't give me the choice to try to hurt somebody that's of that sexual persuasion. That doesn't give me the right to go hurt somebody, curse somebody, and do that. That's wrong. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. I know I'm stepping on some toes here. That's not my right, and that's not my job. My job is to preach the gospel. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'll say this in close. I got picked up one time. I'll never forget. We got shut down in an airport. We were shut down because the plane, they had to land it. There's no other choice. This was years and years ago. So, everybody done had a bunch of rental cars, all kinds of stuff. I mean, you just couldn't. I knew and come to find out, Kathy was giving me a birthday party or something. I think it was at that time. It was supposed to happen. Anyway, I said, there's no way I can get to New Orleans. I looked around like I said, man, I wish I had a car. I was trying to rent a car. So this guy looks at me. He was a real nice man. He said, listen, I'm going to New Orleans. Would you mind if you pay half of the rental? He said, I don't have it all. But he said, we get it together. We can pay half this rental. We can get to New Orleans. He said, I got it. He said, I'm going home to talk to my mother and father too. I said, man, that would be great. So we took off. Man, I got to go and I'm driving. I'm on the road between Baton Rouge and New Orleans on I-10. And of all days, I always dress reasonable when I'm flying somewhere. But that day, I had a pair on boxer shorts, not boxer like that, but I mean, what they call it? Coach shorts, like coach, you know, t-shirt and all that kind of stuff like that, you know. And so I'm riding that car. He says, you know, you got pretty legs for a man. Now, the first thing I thought, do I want to walk the rest of the way to New Orleans? Oh, Lord Jesus. And I realized this boy has got a problem. But instead of being cruel, I said, my wife said I got pretty legs. She said she did. I said, yeah. I said, so two of y'all now think I got pretty legs. Oh. I said, you know, you don't see many ministers walking around with coat shorts on. He goes, oh, you're a minister. I said, yes, I am. I said, why are you going home? Tears came in his eyes. I'm coming out of the closet. He said, I've got to tell my mother and father. I said, do you think they know? I think so. He said, but I was born that way. I said, no, you wasn't. Or you think you're better than me? I said, I didn't say that. You did. I said, sir, if I thought I was better than you, I would have told you to pull this car over the road, on the side of the road, and let me get out. I'll get you out, because since I paid half, we're going to see who's going to win first. Because you thought my legs were pretty. I said, no, sir. And I explained to him that he was created in the image of God. And I did tell him, you may not know when you became a homosexual. That's possible. You may not know how you became a homosexual. That's possible. You know what he said? He said, you're the first preacher that wasn't cruel to me. I said, I can't be cruel. Cruelty is of the devil. I said, but I tell you one thing. I'd like you to go to heaven. Well, you think I'm going to hell? I said, I didn't say that. You did. What do you think? I said, you know what your problem is? What? I said, you don't like yourself. And you trying to come out so you can like, you think that's going to help you like yourself. That ain't going to help you like yourself. I said, you see, you really have never met yourself. I said, to really know yourself, you got to know Jesus in your heart. Well, I love God. I said, I don't doubt that. I said, a lot of people love God, but they don't have Christ in them. See my point? You'd be surprised. Well, I believe, but so does the devil. He ain't told me nothing new here. But instead of being critical to the man, try to hurt the man, I refuse to do that. I'm going to let the light of Christ permeate out of my skin since he's looking at it. Hey, I'm going to use whatever I can. I'm going to let Christ, the hope of glory, come out of my skin. I said, you know what I'm going to do today? So I'm going to pray for you, young man. I said, you need the Lord. I said, I'm no better than you are. Difference is, I know Jesus in my heart instead of in my head. I said, you know, I don't have to come out of a closet. I don't have anything to hide. And I know a lot of people think that I feel so free. No. Now that that part's out, that still hadn't changed any of your life whatsoever at all. You still got problems. You still got everything. It doesn't make any difference. You got to get Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, we pulled up, and there was Kathy waiting on me. I said, Kathy, come here. I said, this is my wife, Kathy. I want to introduce you to this man. I introduced you. She said, hello. How you doing? I said, he got, I tell you what, we got together. It wouldn't have been for him. I wouldn't have been able to get here. He said, well, it wouldn't have been for you, sir. I wouldn't have been able to get here. I said, listen, remember, I'll be praying for you. I want you to know that. I said, this drive today, I don't think was for me to be better than you or to condemn you. It was to let your light, so let my light so shine. But you see, if I would have said, well, that's okay, then I would have defiled myself. Now, I did tell him this. If God wouldn't have said anything about that, that ain't none of my business. You do what you want. But God said something about that. Whether you believe it or not, don't change it. That's what God said, and he is the final judge. You follow my point? And who am I to become God to someone? Can't do that. So I refuse to defile myself with pride, arrogance, even though I may know how to do something. I just let my light shine. Now, I've never seen that man sin. That's been, what, 20 years ago? I guess, something like that. But I'm believing God that that simple conversation of, I don't know, an hour or whatever it is to get from Baton Rouge, we landed in Baton Rouge, maybe an hour, hour and 10 minutes, something, was enough to touch his heart, to reach out to him. Instead of wanting to hit him. Now, what good would that do? See what I'm saying? So, when you understand what Daniel was saying here, is that if you don't mind, in a very persuasive, kindness way, he said, I would like to kind of live my life if I can. And then he had to prove he's God. The guy said, well, if you look sick, the king will kill me. I promise you, my God will take care of me. And sure enough, you read, so you'll find out they look better and fairer than anyone else of the one that ate at the king's meat. So church world, I'm saying this. Yes, we need to attract people, but we don't have to use the worldly elements to do it. Why don't we let Jesus permeate out of our skin while we're shining? And instead of being critical of each other, church splitting and fighting here, why don't we just let our light so shine? Because, you know, I'll say this, words once uttered are not easily recalled. And some of our greatest ministers that God has put up say some of the stupidest things. And then have to go apologize for it. If you have to apologize for something you said, then what you said was wrong. But if you said the truth will set you free. But there's a way of saying the truth and how to say it. Because the truth is hard to swallow sometimes. But if you say it correctly, it will bring healing to your spirit, to your soul, and to your body. Did you enjoy it this morning?